This episode of Boob Sweat is brought to you by Mega Babe. If you didn't already know, I founded my personal care brand Mega Babe a few years ago to solve real problems with cute solutions. Even though I founded the brand, I am not qualified to do every single job, which is why I hire wonderful people like our customer service wizard, Britt. I've brought Britt on here to help answer a question. Hi, Britt.
Hey, Katie.
All right, Britt, go ahead.
Bonnie said she's a super sweaty girl, and she asked how we can help with sweat that's showing through her clothes.
Bonnie, have I got some answers for you. We have several different solutions, starting with our bust dust, which is a hands-free way to apply our talc-free powder into your bra. You just literally pump it in there. It was the second product that we launched with. We also have our dust puff, which helps making apply powder to your body really easy because it helps with the mess. It also puts the powder on really evenly. Our dust puff is kind of awesome. And if you're not into powder, we actually have a cool product called Magic Powder. I know it says powder in the name, but it's actually a lotion. You apply it in a thin layer and it dries with a powder finish. I put it right under my boobs and sometimes under my butt cheeks. It's awesome.
And don't forget, we also have body dust, which is the same great formula as our bust dust, but with a different applicator. So if you're not a fan of the pump, this comes with a sprinkle applicator, so you can easily apply it anywhere that you experience sweat throughout the day.
Britt, you're right. Body dust, of course, duh. Thank you so much for always knowing more than I do. And for a limited time, I'm offering Boob Sweat listeners 15% off your order at megababebeauty.com with the code BoobSweat15 at checkout. Now, on to the pod. I think the lazy stoners have done a lot of bad stuff.
It's true.
For marijuana.
I know. I mean, I say this loud and proud. Weed got me into Harvard.
Hi, I'm Katie Storino, and this is Boob Sweat. There's a lot of stuff out there that makes us sweat, but don't worry, you're not alone. We're here to talk about it. On this podcast, on Boob Sweat, we really talk a lot about taboos, things that people whisper about, and marijuana use, weed smoking, whatever you want to call it, it is still pretty taboo. I know plenty of people in my life who still think it's like one of the biggest drugs you can do, and I guess I want to educate myself, I want to educate you guys, I just want to bring you along on the modern CBD marijuana weed journey. If the last experience that you had with cannabis was at like a weird high school party where some guy tried to pass you a joint and your mom and dad's face flashed before your eyes and you were like, I don't do that. Let me get you a little bit educated. A study by leading cannabis researchers project that the market for CBD sales in the US will surpass $20 billion by 2024. And that is just CBD. That's just CBD. They expect that the CBD market combined with THC products will create a total market of $45 billion. That's B with a billion, like the show that I won't watch because I don't think it's that good, but everyone likes it, but I don't really get it. So what's the difference between CBD and THC and like which one is your grandma taking for her joint pain and which one is your teenage cousin taking to giggle at parties? Let's talk about it. THC is the main psychoactive compound in marijuana. It's what gets you high. You probably know you can smoke it through a bong, a bowl, or a joint, and you can also use a tincture, which is an extract that you drop under your tongue or infuse into drinks. You can eat it in an edible, and you can vape it, you can chew gum, you can spray it, you can even use a THC-infused lotion or bath bomb. There's pretty much 100 different ways to get high. CBD doesn't cause a high like THC, so if you're looking to giggle at a movie, this is not what you're supposed to use. Instead, it's thought to work with other elements in the body linked to feelings of well-being. You can consume CBD in edible forms or a soft gel. You can also use tinctures you drop under your tongue, apply CBD-infused lotions and creams, or put an elixir in your drink. CBD is for overall wellness, while THC is to get high. You may ask, Katie, how much CBD or THC do I even take? If your doctor doesn't provide a recommendation for how much CBD to take, it's best to start with a smaller dosage and adjust it based on how your body feels. To talk about this, I brought in two women working in the industry, Verena Von Fetten. She's the co-founder of Gossamer and Jessica Asaf, co-founder of Prima and one of my favorite people to just watch talk. Verena Von Fetten, which is like the coolest name. She's the co-founder of Gossamer. It's a cannabis lifestyle brand, and I love this, for people who also smoke weed or know people who do. We talk about why she started Gossamer and the anxieties that came with starting a magazine about weed, the cautions around vaping, and her experience with coming out of the weed closet.
There are a lot of people who are like, I don't smoke weed. I don't know anyone. I'm like, you definitely do.
You definitely do.
Yeah. Like, you have friends who smoke weed. They might not talk about it. They definitely do.
Isn't it interesting the way that we view alcohol? Like, no one is defined by their drinking. I mean, until you are.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, majority of people are not defined by their drinking habits.
No. I mean, that was, like, maybe, like, a third of the inspiration behind it was realizing that I was or had a a pretty successful career. I had a very strong professional network. I think I have stellar recommendations from like anyone who I've worked for who has worked for me. I have no problem saying all of that. Like, I'm very proud of that fact.
I've heard good things about you on the street.
Great. Yeah. That's good. You're like sitting over there and like, little does she know. but I feel pretty confident about those things. What was insane to me is that with any of those people, I could say like, oh, let's get a glass of wine, or like, oh God, yesterday sucked. And I went home and like, had like three martinis and I'm a little hungover.
Yeah.
But I couldn't say like, you know what I did is I like went home, smoked a joint and like got in the bath and had the best sleep of my life. And that was like so wild to me that, you know, I could have the sort of caliber of conversations or professional conversations I was having and like not be able to say that. Or if I were to say that, then be like, you know, look at me. I mean, to be totally candid, I was like having meetings with like Anna Wintour one week for like a project.
Wow.
And at the same time thinking about Gossamer stuff, my co-founder came to me and was like, would you want to do something in cannabis? And I was like, that's insane. I was like, I'm literally meeting with someone like Anna Wintour tomorrow. What am I going to do? Tell her like, no, I can't take this project. I'm starting a magazine about weed. Like, that's professional suicide. And then I like went home and I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm having a meeting with Anna Wintour tomorrow.
Yeah.
And like, I smoke weed.
Yeah.
So why is that a problem?
Right.
And then like you layer that and like, I realized like, A, that shouldn't be a problem because I'm successful. I'm smart. I'm accomplished. I clearly get my work done. I'm like hyper type A. I'm also like, I recognize, and this has been like a benefit in my career because it's just a fact of life that like I'm a relatively telegenic person. So like, you know, for editors or whatever, it's like, oh good, she can go on TV.
Yeah.
Or like, oh good, we can like put her in a photo shoot.
Telegenic is the best term that I didn't know about until.
Well, I just used it. I just think it's something to be like honest about. Some are it whether you're comfortable with it or not. And I have like moments of comfort and moments of severe discomfort with it, I recognize that it is an asset.
Definitely.
And so I realized that from a cannabis perspective, that would also be, you know, people would be like, oh, interesting. Like former Condé editor, like kind of chic, whatever. Like she smokes weed and she's making a weed magazine. I have all of like the privilege in the world in that respect. So then what does it mean for someone who doesn't look like me, who doesn't have the professional network I have, who doesn't have maybe like the friends I have to be able to say they smoke weed? It's wildly different and like hugely discriminatory. And that also was sort of like, well, wait a second. We need to have like a much larger conversation about what it means to smoke weed and like or have a relationship to cannabis, which is like another thing we can get into. But like, what it means to have a relationship with cannabis has changed drastically in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, it was like a stoner. 3 years ago, it was maybe quite literally like someone who smoked weed. And now it's like your grandma rubbing CBD on her joints.
Yeah.
So, you know, while that's great, we also have to make sure we're like being very clear and inclusive about who is allowed to do it publicly and who isn't.
What are your personal habits with weed? Are you someone who smokes in the morning? Are you someone who smokes? What is your daily experience?
So my daily experience waxes and wanes. Like I will go sometimes weeks without consuming it in any form. And then sometimes like every single day. I would say
you someone who smokes weed and can function.
No, absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Let's be crystal clear. No judgies on people who can. I'm actually like kind of jealous when people are like, it makes me more like focused on my work. Right. I'm like, no, I've tried. No. Trust me, I get all the product in the world every now and then I try, and every now and then I'm like, no, this was a mistake. Once again, not going to work for me. I wish there was another word than consume. Cause like I take weed, I consume cannabis, usually at night, or socially. So at night it will be like, occasionally I'll smoke a little bit of a joint, but I find in most instances, like I love flower, like the,
yeah,
another thing we talk about this, like the terminology in weed is like kind of annoying, but I'm starting to come around to it. First of all, we're pretty like adamant about calling it weed because I just think that's what people call it. Yeah. Like it would be like saying like, I'm going to drink some liquor tonight. You know, it's cannabis as a term for the industry and the plant makes sense to me as a catch-all to make sure like we're encompassing everything. I'll say that generally we refer to weed. And then the one term that really like kind of rubs me the wrong way, but I don't know why, but it's useful as flower, right? To like distinguish like the actual buds from like a vape pen.
Because flower like sounds like a little
pretentious,
precious.
Yeah. But like, I'm not going to say like bud. That's not my
word.
That's
a whole nother thing.
So we got to talk about like terminology. It's not there. But anyways, flower, I love. It is so strong these days. So smoking like a joint is not a realistic option for me. I'll take like one hit and be like, cool, I'm going to be high for 5 hours. But I do love it. I love edibles and I love vape pens. I'm happy to talk about that, which I know is like a hot topic too.
They are hot topics. Maybe can you tell me what is going on with vape pens?
My understanding and from everything I've read and all of like, I mean, because we went deep on like the papers that were being released and
yeah,
is that the issue is, for lack of a better term, because I don't like the term black market, but are like unregulated pods and cartridges. Because basically what you're having, and that goes for Juuls, and like tobacco ones too, is there is a huge black market of people selling, like if you order weed in New York, your dealer, which, you know, or your guy, whatever you want to call it, he's going to show up at your house. And most of them these days have cartridges, right? Like you have like, or, you know, have pods or whatever, like you have your own vape pen and they'll have like a little refillable thing. So there is no way to tell where that came from. I would say do not, anyone in a non-regulated state should be wary of the pods they are buying. Unless they are buying it from a regulated source, like flying. No. That's, look, there are cannabis brands that make their oil and extracts specifically for packs. And so as long as you're buying those from a licensed and regulated dispensary, I would say you are fine.
Okay. It's more of the New York weed dealer.
It's more like, I mean, there was literally, I think, like a huge breakthrough in the case where it was they like raided two brothers in like Wisconsin or Illinois who had like, thousands of empty cartridges and like, you know, big like milk jugs of like oil that they were hand filling into these cartridges and then selling. So like that's what you're buying. And then the other thing is a lot of these places will knock off existing brands. So like because the vessel for the cartridges for the, you know, oil all looks the same. It's just a little label. I am very comfortable smoking out of a vape from any of the brands that are in like California, 100% dosist. Like I'm super comfortable. I would never stop. I think they are incredibly regulated. However, the one thing I will say, overall, we know very little about vaping. Like there are no long-term studies about what vaping actually does to our lungs. So
what does flower smoke do to your lungs?
So my understanding, and again, I'm not a scientist, but my understanding is that it doesn't have a lot of the irritants that like smoking a cigarette does, like the tar and shit like that. You know, our science advisor, who is a doctor, and she has a doctorate in cannabinoid science, which is very cool. And she's the first and only woman in the country to have it. First and only person, definitely like the only woman. And she describes it as smoking anything is like never going to be great for you, but it's like nowhere near. It's not like smoking a cigarette. And there are actually like, I believe there are studies that show that smoking certain herbs can actually be helpful for your lungs and like help open them too. Like if you think about it from like a plant healing perspective.
starting this business, you did have to like come out of the proverbial weed closet. Now, did you have any like negative reactions from people in your life?
100%. I have gotten to the point, it's been, God, I've been working on Gossamer for probably almost 4 years. It's been like public for maybe 18 months, 2 years. I am now very comfortable. Like my landlord the other day asked me what I did, and I was like, oh, I make products for people who smoke weed. And he promptly was like, ooh, can I have a magazine? I was like, yeah, there it is. Like my old Irish landlord, like, here you go. So I'm now very, very comfortable. My mother was like, my mother is a, much older, very old school German lady. So like she had me when she was 42. So she's literally like 77, 78.
Okay.
So she is like, and like from Germany, you know, moved to Canada in like the 70s. So you do not get more like strict and traditional than her. I wasn't allowed like out until I went to college. I wasn't allowed boys, like boys weren't allowed to call my house. So now like telling my mom that I'm starting a company for people who smoke weed. I didn't tell her for a very long time. Yeah. I told her I was like making like a lifestyle magazine.
Okay.
And that was it. And she kept being like, okay, she still doesn't understand what I do. Like, she just now understands what the Huffington Post is, and that's where I worked 12 years ago. So like baby steps.
But does she know now that you do this?
She does. And the first time I told her,
was
I remember
she like, are
we
you
were,
a heroin addict?
She was like, are you a drug dealer? Is yes. literally what she yeah. was like. So what am I supposed to tell my friends? You're a drug dealer.
Yeah.
It was like, she was very upset and very angry. Mostly she was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to tell people my daughter does. Like, I was so proud
so
of you. You were, the, you know,
and now
like,
look at now, you like, in it, ruins.
And yeah. then I remember, so Clement Kwan is, the founder of Bebo. Are you familiar with
yes.
them? With Scott Campbell. He's yep. a tattoo artist. So I had met with Clement before Bebo launched, and he was a former executive at Net-a-Porter and Yuke's Group and Gucci, and or not Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, I think. And I remember being like, oh, okay. And I was like, hey, mom, you know, like the former like president of Net-a-Porter is launching a weed line. Like, if that helps.
Yeah.
And she was sort of like, oh, like that reframed it
yeah.
for her a little bit, which is frustrating. It shouldn't have to be like a man in the luxury space, but... It took my mom a long time to get there. So CBD was the entry point.
Yeah.
Got her real comfortable with CBD. And then, I mean, she lives in Canada and Canada yeah. legalized. So then all of her friends were starting, you know, they're all like in their 60s and 70s
yeah.
and they all have like aches and pains and sleep and
totally.
Sleep issues. And so they started like one by one sort of secretly making their way to like dispensaries. And so then finally my mom was like, well, I think I'm going to go to like a place today with, you know, Hilda, her friend. And
no,
and that now she like takes THC tinctures at night. She calls it TCH.
Does she like, know what it
English?
Is?
Yes. And so she has, I've sent her like my product and she was taking that for a long time. And now she doesn't take it anymore. I'm not like doing us
she
a disservice.
You for the THC?
Yes. She was like, I just think that my TCH works better. I'm like, well, yeah, no shit. It works
You're
better.
High, girl.
Like, yeah. And she calls it TCH. So now she's all in. But she still thinks occasionally that I'm like addicted. And,
sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
Jessica Assaf is a literal ray of light. She is the co-founder and chief education officer of Prima and a longtime activist and advocate of clean beauty and cannabis. We talk about the endocannabinoid system, which is a real word that I've learned how to say, kind of. We learned how to tell what CBD is good CBD. She shares her case for bringing the bong back and what it means to be a woman in the cannabis industry.
I have heard, like, when I walked into MedMen in Los Angeles, like, a guy immediately, like, just started telling me about the endocannabinoid. But he was like, yeah, but, like, it's in your system.
Yes.
And I was like, what are you talking about? But can you explain what this man was trying to tell me about?
Yes. So I actually went to Israel to meet the man that discovered the endocannabinoid
system.
His name is Dr. Raphael Mishulam. He's been studying this plant for 50 years in his lab in Israel. He's funded by the National Institute of Health in the U.S. And he's been studying this plant for 50 years. His first question was, how have humans always used cannabis? because either we've evolved with cannabis and we've used it since the beginning of time, or our bodies have this hidden connection to the plant that we really need to look into. Basically, Dr. Rafael Mechoulam set out to figure out why cannabis works so well with the human body. What he discovered is essentially the same compound produced by the plants, cannabinoids, phytocannabinoids, when they're from the plant, phyto means from plant, the body also produces naturally. Those are called endocannabinoids, inside cannabinoids. So basically, our bodies produce their own cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are the active compounds in the cannabis and hemp plant. So what this means is, as I said, there's a reason why these products work so well for such a range of issues. I mean, people use cannabis and hemp for everything from, you know, physical discomfort to mental issues to sunburns. There's just such a wide range of uses. Mm-hmm. And that's because our internal and external environment has their own endocannabinoid system.
So it's a real thing, and there's real science behind it. But now we've hit the part where people want to make money, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know when, but my deli on the corner, Haha Fresh, I walked by one day and now they're a fucking CBD shop. And they just like, it's like, I can't just go in for my firewood or whatever I need. It's just like, it's a wall full of CBD and like light bongs. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
So I guess I think that the people want to know, how do you differentiate between the junk and the good stuff?
I wish there was an easy answer for that. It's almost like we are in this industry where we were in beauty 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of garbage out there. And also, a lot of these brands are not built by chemists. And it actually takes real formulation science and real chemistry to understand these compounds and these molecules. Some of them are not backed by people that actually know how to make products.
I would say most of them are not.
And right? Everyone's just flocked to this green rush without the real credentials.
Is that what
credentials.
It's called, the green
it's
rush?
The green rush,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Without really understanding how to make products. And that's a big risk, because then vulnerable populations are really attracted to these products.
Yeah.
And they're spending a lot of money, and then they're not feeling anything and they're dropping off. The other big thing is third-party testing and validation, because it's not enough for a company to tell you that the products are safe. It needs to be third-party validated by an unbiased source.
Well, how do you tell about that?
Every product that you buy in this industry should have test results available online.
Oh.
Because a lot of the products on the market don't actually contain cannabinoids or have THC or contaminants, heavy metals. It's a huge issue.
Oh.
Because this industry is self-regulated, just like the beauty industry. And how could you depend on the companies to know?
You can't. Do you think my deli is testing on the CBD? No, Haha Fresh is not.
Haha Fresh is a laughing matter, literally. But really, there are stores, like, for example, we just launched in Standard Dose. And that store requires every brand to submit the testing.
Oh, and then what do you think about CBD for pets?
I use CBD on my dog Lola every single day.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little story.
Please do.
So Lola is my first dog. I'm the, you know, first time dog owner. She's also a small pit mix that I got in Brooklyn, and she's been through a lot. You know, she's found tied to a tree. She definitely has some residual trauma. Don't we all?
Yeah.
She's very much my mirror. And so she got a little too playful in the backyard and tore a ligament. Hmm. I brought her to the vet. She couldn't walk. And the vet was like, guess what? You need $3,000 surgery and an 8-week recovery. She tore her ACL, all of this stuff. And I just said to myself, no. I know there's another solution.
Yeah.
I know, I'm not a vet or a medical professional, so this is just an anecdotal story that I'm sharing.
Yes, thank you.
For compliance.
Sure.
But really, I went home and I started putting CBD on her food. And it was every day. And I probably upped her dose from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 milligrams. And 6 months later, she was completely healed. And she acts like a puppy now. And now I give it to her every day. I actually give her our vegan soft gel with peanut. I just dip it in peanut butter.
Yeah.
She loves it. She begs for it.
Okay.
And I know it makes her feel better.
Okay.
She's almost 8 now. You know, she's getting older.
Yeah.
And she looks forward to it. She'll come over and ask for it. And she's completely healed now. All of my neighbors are like, how did that happen? And I'm like,
I don't know.
It's the plant.
Wow.
But it does. There are some studies that show it can help to... And again, I'm not a doctor, but it can help to grow and heal bones. There are so many uses for this because there are cannabinoids everywhere. Our skin has its own cannabinoid system. So even when she gets a rash, I'll put on the CBD cream and she'll heal.
Your CBD cream. So my husband's elbows are very dry, naturally dry. And it's a nightly routine.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's why we called it skin therapy.
Yes. Yeah. So, because, and I like that on that particular product, it says, like for troubled skin, yep. Right?
Problematic skin.
Yeah, problematic exactly. skin. And I feel like everyone has like a spot that they can identify.
Or the seasons give you dry skin. Or, I mean, again, it's just to kind of like normalize these things that we all go through.
Yes. Let me ask your opinion on vape pens for weed and I don't really even understand if people smoke cigarettes out of the vape pen or what is happening, but are vapes safe? I know you're not a doctor. She's telling me no.
I just think the technology is too new for us to know if it's safe. I personally use a bong. So for me, it's literally a deep breath, you know?
Oh, but like, how do you talk about using a bong and get taken seriously? Because like, everyone's like, like
bongs need to be destigmatized right now. Yeah. I want to advocate for bongs because bongs are actually the cleanest way, I think, to smoke.
Interesting.
Because you get the water filter.
Yeah.
And I just love the feeling personally.
Yeah.
But back to the bong, because I'm very passionate about this. Lazy stoners completely tainted our perception of bongs. It's not about taking the biggest hit you can. You can actually take as big of a hit or as small of a hit as you want with a bong. You can, you know, take a small puff just to get you a little high, like a sip.
Yeah.
It's like a bong is like a wine bottle. If you gave someone a wine bottle, you wouldn't say, chug, you have 30 seconds, go.
Right.
You know, you would say, take a sip. Yeah. So when someone sees my bong, which is big and intimidating, I have a few of them. I have like the pink bong or the clear bong. I'm like, just sip on it. Just take a little sip.
That makes sense. And yep. I think the lazy stoners have done a lot of bad stuff.
It's true.
For marijuana.
I mean, I say this loud and proud. Weed got me into Harvard. So
love that. Because I grew up in the weed is a gateway drug to just heroin.
I know.
Like, it's like you smoke a joint and you're in the gutter.
I don't know about you. I've never even thought about another drug besides weed. I'm so good with it. And it's also a plant. It's not a drug.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I completely feel you. My neighbors and I live in this row of one-bedroom bungalows in Venice.
Yeah.
And we all have dogs and we have a big shared backyard. And so we're trying to rebrand the bong because we're all bong lovers. And so we call it girl time because cannabis is a female plant.
Oh, wow.
And we're all girls and our dogs are girls. And so when we say, do you want to have girl time? We all go into the backyard, unleash the dogs. We bring out our bongs, hit the bong, and then just stare at the dogs playing and like talk for them. And it is the most fun healing thing you could do.
But are there beautiful bongs in the world
yet?
Yes. Okay.
There's a guy, I think his name is Benjamin. He makes like $1,000 art piece bongs.
Oh,
I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't trust myself.
Sure. Well, and I only see what's in HaHa Fresh, and it's mostly, it's like those weird marble glass.
Yep. But those are great. Like, I try and have a bong wherever I am. So I have like one at my sister's here, one at my brother's, one in Utah, one in San Francisco. So it's good to have an assortment.
You go so many places.
Just like home bases, my siblings and
sibs. You
know, family. Yeah.
Do you have any issues with your family starting this type of business, or were they like, no, you're good. You went to Harvard.
Well, my brothers did a lot of the groundwork for my family when they would just like smoke weed in high school and get in trouble. And so my earliest memories with cannabis are, you know, going to the police station to pick up my brothers when they were in high school and smoking in the park. And so that kind of set the tone a little bit differently. But as soon as the market legalized formally with the farm bill and, you know, the product started coming out, it's predicted to be a $21 billion industry by 2021. And so when you look at the numbers, they actually think, oh, wait, Jess, maybe your love for cannabis put you on this path that could be great for you in business. Mm-hmm. So, but they're, you know, we're still early. So I actually got interested in cannabis professionally when I read this statistic that completely changed my life. I was high in bed and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do in cannabis. And I read the statistic that across all U.S. industries, the cannabis industry has the highest percentage of female executives. So in 2016,
more than beauty.
Sadly, the beauty industry is run by white businessmen.
I actually do know that. Okay.
So In 2016, the cannabis industry had 36% female executives compared to 23% across all other U.S. industries. Sadly, that statistic is declining very quickly. Now it's at 27%. And that's largely due to the fact that the market is opening up and more, you know, male investors and businessmen are coming in. But I really think that cannabis unlocks a new feminism because the plant is female. This is a really important part of the industry. Just as important, if not more important, is the issue of people of color.
Yeah.
This plant will not be free until every single person who has been incarcerated due to cannabis is free.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So we on our shoulders is also the history of how many people have been locked up mm-hmm. for this plant that is now that we're now capitalizing mm-hmm. on. It's mm-hmm. a really, really big issue in the industry. Mm-hmm.
So. Very interesting.
I know. It's fascinating.
Also, for the people at home, your skin is just glowing.
Thank you. It's because of Night Magic. Yeah. Facial oil. Right? It's really awesome because I used to be really insecure. The whole reason why I got so into the cosmetic issues because I wore layers of makeup. I hid myself behind my favorite products. And since using our Prima products and cannabinoids on my skin, I've actually had the confidence to like stop wearing facial makeup at all. So this is just my skin.
Wow.
Which is so amazing because yeah. I think these products are empowerment tools. I think your products are. I think our products are. They're giving people back their identity and their power.
Yeah. Not solving for like a fake problem.
But exactly. Yeah. Or telling someone they need something because they need to look a certain way.
Yeah.
No, I just want to sweat better. I don't want to stop sweating. No, you know, and that's like why I use my Mega Babe.
Yeah, that exactly. Thanks for the plug. Your skin is beautiful.
Do you
want to
smell? I swear.
Are you really wearing
it? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, it's my first thing I did.
Wait, people, that's a big deal. Because if she wears Rosie Pitts, then I feel really good.
It's the only one that works for me.
Oh.
Marijuana, weed. It's coming. It's going to be legal. And if you are like me and you grew up in the like very judgmental marijuana phase of life, the 80s, I think we need to educate ourselves. I think we need to examine what that relationship is and maybe stop judging people who do come out as weed users or marijuana users. Now I sound like my mom. But what I'm trying to say is that weed is coming. It's actually here. And if you're like me and you grew up in the 80s and you have this like idea that marijuana is this major drug, I think you're going to get left behind. And so I'm doing this podcast to educate you on everything from CBD to THC products, what is safe, what's not safe. I did this so that you can learn a little bit more about something that maybe you've written off in your life. Thanks so much to Verena and Jess for stopping by the podcast. You can find Verena at Gossamer and Jess at Prima.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Boob Sweat. You can follow me on Instagram at Katie Storino or at Mega Babe. If you want to talk about something we've covered today in more detail, come join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because that shit is important. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is over.